TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I do want to say, share with you what the Lord spoke to me yesterday as a fresh understanding. And when God talks about authority, and he talks about it quite often, as a matter of fact, when the centurion came to Jesus, a non-Jew came to Jesus, because Jesus came first for the Jews, that he began to explain authority. And Jesus said, hey.
The silence said, hey. Did he say, hey? Is that what he said?
He said, this guy's got it. He understands. You know, in all of Israel, I don't know anybody who has the greatest amount of the measure of the stuff that pleases me the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the greatest faith in all of Israel. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, you know, understanding authority really helps out. And he talks about it in Romans chapter 13, because some people say, you know, God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. And it's like, is that what he told you? Is that what he says? When did you hear that? I mean, mm-hmm. Did you check that out? Did you read the Bible? Did you find out what that? And he says there's a season for everything. But one thing he talks about in authority, established authority, he says he does not bear the sword for nothing. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He doesn't. And when you think about that, he's talking about authority here. God's word is talking about authority. I don't care where you are. You have to understand that God is saying through his word, through the unction of his spirit, what has been being written was that authority is given a power. It's given a strength. It's given an ability. It depends where you are and how well they exercise it. But God establishes authority. And somebody says, well, God, will God establish evil authority? Yes, he would, because of the people. If the people are evil, then the leaders are evil. If the people are good, then the leaders are good. And so often people are coming against leaders, not realizing that leader came from you. You asked for Saul. You asked for this situation. And so it's important to understand, because a lot of Christians have suffered, and I know some good people right now that are sitting in jail because they didn't understand that they don't bear the sword for nothing. They have the ability to exercise whatever law that's fit. I mean, you look at Daniel, and you look at how things operated with Daniel. I mean, he stayed in the confines and the functions of what was going on there. You look at Joseph, the very same thing. He stayed in the confines of that, and he knew God's in control. He's in total control. And it makes me think about Josiah. You know, God was seeing the condition of the people, his people, and he said, I'm going to have to put some tough leadership over my people. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And Josiah didn't even have the word of God. His Bible was the same place that America's Bible's at. You know, obviously, think about this. 81% of Americans are not picking their Bible up. At that time, Josiah, the king of Israel, had never seen the word. And by the way, nobody was letting them know what was in it. Mm-hmm. And of the 19% in America that are reading the word, only 3% are actually taking, like I'm about to talk about Josiah. And so God's going to come down. God's about to put some evil leadership over his people. He's going to establish authority over his folks. And so Josiah finds out what's going on. He goes, God's angry with us. And he responds. He looks introspectively and says that this leadership, evil leadership that's on its way, dear God, we're sorry. God, forgive. And he began to repent and ask God to forgive and begin to teach others, listen, we've been wrong. And God just puts everything on break and says, wait a minute. I'm going to establish you as a good leader. And he considered him a great leader. And God's people were blessed during his leadership. He says, but after you, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put some rough leadership over the people, because they won't stop. Mm. So you can't affect the hand of God as a leader when you say, dear God, I see that this is wrong. But after Josiah, and you got to go to the VFN store and get Josiah, But understand that Jehoiakim, his son, he had two sons. The first son, as soon as Josiah dies at a young age, that his first son goes and tries to take over, doesn't work out well. His second son is appointed by Egypt. Now, here he is a Jew, but Egypt is the one determining who's going to lead the Jews. This is a God order. God is allowing this to take place. You have so many people, theorists, they're talking about, well, this is a whatever. And it's like, yeah. Why is the question is why is God allowing this? What have we done? Not, and all of a sudden, so then you have Egypt renamed Josiah's son. He did away with his original name, his birth name, and gave him a new name called Jehoiakim, which, by the way, means God set man. How can the Egyptians know that God, that how can the Egyptians know that that they're supposed to play a part in God's rule over his people? But they did. God used the Egyptians to put a leader and name him Jehoiakim, and they made a covenant with this man, and he began to put high taxation. And what you do with taxes is, if you don't have enough justification to be able to charge higher taxes, you just put new things out there. War and tragedies and medical care and anything you can do to raise taxes up because oppression's coming. And that's what he did to pay tribute to Egypt. And so you can sit here and curse Jehoiakim. You can blame Jehoiakim. But you have to understand that Jehoiakim is God's set man. Or you can do what Timothy tells us. He tells us to pray for, or Paul tells Timothy, to pray for all those in authority over you. Mm-hmm. For this is pleasing to God. He would that all men would be saved, including mm-hmm. Jehoiakim. All authority is established, and he doesn't bear the sword for nothing. You can't, if God establishes an authority, and you come against that authority, you're coming against what God's established, and you bring judgment on yourself. The sword, the actual physical methodology of that particular authority's way of dealing with what they're over is going to come against you. And God's not going to, he's going to let it happen. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, you know what? What have I done, God? What have we done? I'm going to get back in the word like Josiah did. I'm going to find out how did we get here? Because you've established, this is your set man over us right now. And knowing that, then I can pray for those in authority over me. Mm-hmm. I can pray instead of curse and criticize and be critical and fight against and be evil against your husband, your parents, your boss, your governor, your senator, your president, your king. You can say, I understand now, Lord, that you do establish authority and they do bear the sword. And if I don't get my act together, if I keep on running my mouth, that the king's going to hear the secrets that I tell in my tent, mm-hmm. and it's going to get back, and you're not going to do anything other than say, I told you, mm-hmm. you know, I told you. And the thing is this, is that we have to honor that which God has established. But if it is a rough, rugged, oppressive government, if it is that, then understand, we have to ask the question, then why did God allow this? Why did he allow this? And we'll find out that our leadership will change. Our leadership will change. Their heart will change. Everything will change when we turn our hearts back to God. He says, when evil leaders lead, people cringe. But when righteous leadership is in place, people rejoice and they're blessed and they prosper. But it's for us to turn from our evil ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Listen, for those in America, you need to start blessing President Obama, his family, Michelle, Sasha, Malia, and praying that God would save our president and protect them and bless them and pray for those in authority over you. And then to seek your heart and find out, God, what have we done to bring us into this predicament? And you'll find things will change.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Protect Your Kids. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And while it's important to shelter your children, Dr. Julie Slattery says you and your spouse need to agree on a game plan for your teen, who demands more adult responsibilities.
I grew up in a Christian home. I was used to being somewhat sheltered from some of the things of the world. He was thrown right in the middle of it. And so his approach is much more, let's expose the boys to things and coach them through them so that they can make their own decisions, whereas I am more apt to want to protect and shelter.
You and your mate need to discuss how to best transfer decision-making to your teen. Try to be on the same page and give gentle, loving guidance as a parent. That can go a long way in reassuring your child that you believe they have what it takes to be a successful adult. More trusted advice for training teens at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
The interesting thing, I guess you could say it's interesting about the Lord that you discover is he gives us a chance to join him.
Many chances.
But he doesn't force us.
Right.
He will send prophets to us. He'll say, matter of fact, I'm coming to you right now and probably letting you know if you don't know yet that if the church does not arise, if she doesn't awake, things as we know it in the nation called America, the United States of America, is going to change. It's changing before our eyes, but a third great awakening, a massive national revival can change it. But we can drop the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, we've dropped the ball. And if we drop the ball, God will just move. The cloud will move. It's moving as we speak into India, into China. As a matter of fact, listen to Peter Wagner and Steve Hill talk specifically about that. I'll be right back.
And say to this should not offend anyone. What this should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man. Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this Peter. You're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s or whatever. But the bottom line is, you got the fire of an 18-year-old. Okay, and the vision, and you see the world laid out. Like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple, the gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else. You're going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And you think about it. Why would we have to be swallowed by a whale? Why do we have to go? He said, I will not go in the middle. I will not respond to the call. I'm not going to do it. But when he finally did it, Nineveh, a great city, turned around. You don't think, and this is what this is what God told Jonah. Should I not be concerned? Mm-hmm. Should I not be concerned? Should I not be concerned about this great city? Do you don't think God's concerned about the great nation called America? He cares. He loves the American people. He wants them to know him. He wants the church to rise. But you know what? If we don't stand up, if we don't say, you know, this is me, I'm ready to do it. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. You can find out. Listen, we have been preparing for you. We have been preparing for you. You know, all the way from training you up to rightly relating you, to bringing you into the harp and bowl ministry of Revelations 5:8, so you can pray and watch and make sure, you know, that you stand in the midst of what's coming. We've raised you up in unity, what we call the due space, being able to be together continually with all the family. We raised you up and be able to get connected and rightly related and get discipled, and not only get discipled, but to go through VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University to train you again in the simplicity. It's so simple. It's not complicated. Religion complicates things, but it was so simple that the fishermen were doing it, and it just blew the mind of all those that invested so much in gaining so much knowledge that there were no longer any use in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. This is what he says. He says two things. One is he says, every time I began to get insecure about things when I was in ministry, when I was young, I would go get a degree. I would get more education. He said, I was dying by degrees. I had to unlearn everything I learned so that God could use me. He says something else in his book called The Flexible Wineskin. He says, listen, if it ever gets like that, I hope you, those that are related to me, I hope you will step away from that
right?
So that you can continue on with the call that God's placed on your life. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. Listen, let's do it. Let's believe God. Let's raise up for a day such as this. Don't look around for people to be your cheerleader. If they're not going to go, they're not going to cheer you on. But if you will go, if you'll be that voice, God will use you. vfnfamily.org. VFN, that's V Victor, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You hear folks sometimes say, you know, I just can't pray more than 2 or 3 minutes. And, you know, there's a revelation that was lost there. But, you know, one of the most powerful things about prayer is it doesn't matter how pretty your words are. Prayer is just a conversation with God. I mean, if you know how to talk, you can pray. Mm-hmm. Because all you're doing is talking with God, and you're either thanking him for what he has done. Mm-hmm. You're actually either standing in the gap and asking him to move on someone's life, and maybe you're asking him to do something in your life. But that's what prayer is. And the thing about prayer is that it has no limitation. It's really what connects you with God. I mean, all in intercession, all prayers start in the heart of God. Mm-hmm. And what happens is God allows you to be burdened with something. Mm-hmm. And then it comes like full circle. And then you release it upon the earth. You release it back up to the Lord. And just kind of this big old circle happens, uh-huh, where you just, you know, starts in the heart of God, touches your heart, you release it back up to God, and just keeps going like that. But it has no limitations. If I want it right now to, you know, affect New York, if you will, or London, or, you know, I want it to go across the world, I'd have to, you know, get an airline ticket, get some clothes together and luggage and physically go to these locations. And, you know, it cost money, resources, time, you know, all those different factors. But when you understand that prayer has no such limits, that when you're praying for someone in London, or you're praying for someone in Uganda, or those that are listening to us in Egypt, mm-hmm, that, hey, we can instantly be there in prayer. Mm-hmm. We're in prayer. We can be there because prayer can go through ceilings and roofs, and it can go through all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, right.
We're present. And who we truly are, think about it. I mean, we're a triune being. We're made in the image of God. God's not made in the image of us humans, right? We're made in the image of God.
Right.
We're spirit, soul, and body. But who we are at the true core of our being is that we're a spirit.
Yeah.
We're a spirit that just happens to have a body. And if you go to a funeral, I mean, it's a really sobering thing, because you look at someone in a casket, you realize that's really just a body there. The essence, the spirit of who that person is, mm-hmm, is gone. They're not there anymore. And their soul's gone. It's just a body. And if we're made in the image of God, then we need to understand, you know, to better understand who we are, we need to understand who God is. He's a spirit. He's invisible. Mm-hmm. And he's immortal, right? Mm-hmm. And so our spirit is invisible. You know, we are a spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And we're immortal. We will live forever. Now, the destination of where we live, that's going to be determined by what we do here on earth. But, you know, the suit that we have called this body is just for us to be able to function and relate on this earth. But when we pray, you know, really, there's our spirit praying, and our spirit can be anywhere that we're praying.
What you in think? The name of Jesus.
Yeah. You think, well, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, if you read your Bible and you can see that a physical body can be translated from one location to the other. I mean, when Elijah was dealing with one of the servants of King Ahab, he's like, go tell King Ahab. He's like, well, no, man, you may be picked up and taken off somewhere. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it's like, and Philip was translated down the road. Listen, prayer has no limitation. We can pray and affect the world by just sitting down, standing up, and going after God and communicating with Him and asking God to just move in powerful ways on the behalf of men that they would respond to Him. I want to encourage you in your prayer life, engage God in a special way. Get a fresh revelation and a fresh vision for how you communicate with God and how you partner with Him for folks and people to encounter Him in a great and powerful way.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828. And type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves. Because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. Based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on. Because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted. I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this. Wow, yes, yeah. We did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to keep the conversation light. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how many dark conversations there are. It's like every, thing that are coming, people trying to, one way to elevate yourself is to be able to begin to speak negatively.
Right.
You know, and, you know, a politician or somebody begins to run for office and they start talking about how bad the economy is or how bad this is. And it's just kind of the political season where all these ads come on television and it right. can make you think, my goodness, it's, you know, mm-hmm. but in regards to no matter what happens in politics, no matter what happens in the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of God, you know, is totally different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We can exist and no matter what the environment is. Right. And we will, you know, the kingdom will exist. And Jesus said this. Jesus said that when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he said that when Satan talked to him, he said, what did he say to him? He said
something.
Yeah, there you go. He said, the kingdoms of this world, if you bow down to me, I'll give them to you.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't call him a liar. Because mm-hmm. he knew that when man fell, man gave the authority over to the adversary here on earth. When one man fell, everybody fell. Mm-hmm. And so in that, when somebody's trying to define the kingdom of God by the kingdoms of this world, you're totally missing the whole paradigm. The kingdom of God is greater than the kingdoms of this world. You know, even it's greater than America, believe it or not. It's greater than America. I know it's kind of hard for 5% of the world's population to be able to know that. But what I believe and what I've seen and what we've talked about, how America got here and how we stay here, is America came about because the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came first in regards to the United States of America and the founding, supposedly, of America was when people found God and they wanted to have a relationship with God. They wanted to worship God. And in that, down the road came this country, one nation under God. Mm-hmm. And so when we say, hey, you got to separate the kingdom of God from the kingdom of America or the kingdom of Mexico or whatever nation, that's not a negative thing. Because if the kingdom of God thrives in a nation, the nation will be blessed. I mean, if you bless Israel, you're going to be blessed. If you bless God's folks, you're going to be blessed. Mm-hmm. But when evil folks rule, it's just people grind their teeth and just, you know, it's dread for them. So I want to talk about during today's program about kind of like untwining the kingdoms of this world from the kingdom of God. Because to begin to talk about conversations outside of that is so many Christians today begin to see it based on the kingdom that they're in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They start, well, how does that fit with the political party system? And how does that fit in the Constitution and all these different things? And it's like, it don't have to fit. You know, it doesn't have to fit. If somebody changes an article or an amendment in the Constitution, it doesn't change Jesus, man. Right. You know, it doesn't change the Word of God. And we would want, by the way, things to stay the way they are in the Constitution. That's, you know, that's what this country was established on. In the context of that, though, it will only stand if the church will stand, if we'll understand we need to preach the kingdom of God, not the kingdom. We're not called as Americans to preach the kingdom of, as Christians, to preach the kingdom of America. We're not called to preach the kingdom of Mexico. We're not called to preach the kingdom of Spain. We're called to preach the kingdom of God.
Right.
And this will free you up because when you start talking, we've talked about a lot of things, you know, on VFN TV, the daily radio program. But if you're hearing them from a perspective of the kingdoms of this world, you know, as an American Christian instead of a Christian American, mm-hmm. you know, it may be kind of hard for you to see how that's going to work. But outside of whatever was going on, I mean, think about this, you know, and we'll just kind of stay on this, you know, but I will also be talking about today, hopefully,
about what's taking place in Israel. With the Jerusalem Post says that the president is meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, on Monday, trying to put himself out there to say, listen, because he hasn't been involved and he wants to be involved and show himself involved in this framework of this John Kerry peace treaty that they've been going on. Kind of makes you want to say, the president wasn't involved and now he is right. involved. Who was involved in this? What was going on? He's the one we elected. You know, we want him there to be able to what? So in the context of that, I mean, just think about it. A kingdom, when you think about the kingdom, this is what Jesus says. When somebody tells you, go out there because the kingdom's out there, or go over this way because the kingdom's is there, or the Lord's out here, or the Lord's out there, he said, listen, don't do that. Don't listen to him, because the kingdom of God is inside of you. When you're a believer, when you accept Jesus Christ, the King himself, his spirit comes to dwell inside of you. Mm-hmm. So wherever you are, that's where the kingdom is, the kingdom of God. So when he says, go spread the kingdom of God, go preach the kingdom of God, it's like we're kingdom containers and we'll go somewhere and we'll preach the kingdom of God. And he says, when you see them, preach the kingdom of God is near. And the reason why the kingdom of God is near, it's in you. That's why it's near. It's not near because there's a cloud hanging over their head or there's some angel appearing to their left arm somewhere. It's because you showed up. Mm-hmm. You're a kingdom container. Christ is in you. And so when you're saying to them, the kingdom of God is near you, and you begin to share with them the testimonies of God and the salvation of the Lord, I mean, there's a chance that they too may make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. The kingdom of God then would come inside of their hearts, and now they're a kingdom container. I mean, that's how the kingdom of God spreads. The kingdom of God does not spread, you know, by taking over political systems. It doesn't spread by having your own country. You know, I think about Dowie and how he wanted to have Zion City, you know, north of, I guess, Detroit or Illinois or whatever. And he just saw, you know, we didn't have our own city. And they literally developed their own city. And he's one of God's generals that Robert Slurden writes about and others have write about. Mm-hmm. A powerful man of God. And he kind of thought, well, we just need to establish our own. And it was allowed, by the way, at that time in America. And the reason why it was allowed was because the Constitution says, you know, you can do that. There's freedom of religion. You can ever how you want to express yourself as long as you're not violating someone else's constitutional right. So he built a whole city. Think about that. Wow. A whole city. Can you imagine people freaking out today going like, yeah, we're going to establish a city, you know. There's Pat Hamilton Boulevard, Pat Hamilton Circle, Pat Hamilton Drive, you know, and 2nd Street.
Right.
No, but really, I mean, and so when you think about this, So the kingdom of God, and what is the kingdom of God? He says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these different things that we need will be added to us. Mm-hmm. The people that don't seek the kingdom of God, but seek all these things, clothes, housing, shelter, stuff, jobs, without seeking the kingdom of God, he says, pagans, people that don't know God does this. That's not different. What's different for believers is we seek the kingdom of God. And there'll be a day that the new Jerusalem and the new earth and all will come and it'll all, the old will go away and the new will come. But up until that point, the kingdom of God dwells in the hearts of men. Mm-hmm. And so the way you change government, for example, is you change the government inside that man or woman's heart by preaching to them Jesus Christ. You don't go there and strong arm somebody in the name of Jesus and enforce something over on them who don't even know Jesus, because they're just going to make a political pandering if they do. You just go tell them about Jesus. And once Jesus is inside of their heart, dwells inside of their heart, and the kingdom of God is inside of them, and if they search out and seek the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden, the way they're going to lead the land, the way they're going to lead your school board, the way they're going to lead your school systems, your counties, your cities, your sheriff's departments, your police departments, and all that stuff, they're going to lead it in a way that God would lead it, because they're going to be convicted or, you know, be unctioned along. They're going to spend time in the Word of God, and God's going to, and it's just amazing. And so when you're seeing all these things take place today, what you're all the only thing you're seeing shaken right now in America is the kingdom of America.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're seeing so many Christians screaming and hollering because they're so intertwined with the kingdoms of this world. Mm. Instead of the kingdom of God, because one particular Baptist leader, I forget, I can't tell, we had him on our program. I don't have it. John's not here to be able to say his name, but he's in the leadership. He said, for years we've been, you know, preaching America and giving away Jesus for free. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is good that we're being challenged like this because we got to get back to preaching the kingdom of God. And it makes such good sense. And you're not worried. You're not concerned until you see the kingdom of God being affected in the context of that. And so the only thing that can be shaken will be shaken, you know, and it will be the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. When Satan offered him to be a leader of any kingdom or all the kingdoms of this world, think about it. How many people say, you know, we just got to get, you know, and it's great when godly leaders get in place. It's wonderful. But that's still man. And we want that. We want godly leaders. But the fact is that, but the leader of the kingdom of God is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when we're right before God, he says, listen, I hold the king's heart in my hand. I direct him like a water course. I direct him like a water course. And when we get back from this break, we want to be able to talk about that, because what makes me think about it makes me think about Esther and the Jews and what was taking place, and how we need to respond to kingdom authority. The kingdom of God responds to the kingdoms of this world. But just thinking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world, it'll free you up when you're thinking about, you know what? I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. I am, Pat, think about this. Think about this. We're part of the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. and we just happen to be in America, and we want to be a good, loyal American citizen and live within the laws and all those different things, but we'd still be in the kingdom of God if we were in China.
Yeah.
That's important to understand, because some people think their life is over. That's why there's hardly any missionaries leaving America, because they're thinking like, you know, it's not like God saying, don't send missionaries, don't go into the field. He says, mm-hmm. get thee up and go into all the world. That so many Christians define their walk in the kingdom of God based on the kingdom of America. And I was talking to this South African pastor just recently, and I truly believe it too, that America is a leading nation. It's a forerunning nation. It's a light. And I was talking to a particular lady that was talking about that God has, you know, predestined plans for America. But listen, he does for Israel too. Israel went through some serious times of trial and testing, and so it's everything subject to, will we follow God? You know, will we honor God in the context of that? And one way to do it is to think about, don't worry, the kingdom of America will stand if we focus on the kingdom of God. Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what he said, seek first. And so think about this. And we took the citizenship test for America, and it's like, man, are we even seeking the kingdom of America, right? I mean, how many things we didn't even know in the context of the citizenship test?
There's a lot of things.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, is that how we are in the things of God? Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And it makes me think about, you know, what do you do when a king is against you? What do you do when government is against you? And it makes me think about Esther. Mm-hmm. You know, Esther was a Jew, and there was all this whole spiritual plot, really, that manifested physically through Haman, you know, to be able to come against the Jews. And the JJ always applies, you know, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to, you know, JJ, which is the Jews and Jesus and this whole thing. Even if it's ice cream, ask the question, what's going to happen to JJ? You know, what's going to happen to JJ? And the biggest way I've noticed is the way that things are being dealt with is the enemy wants to give you stuff. He wants to be able to do something for you to convince you that, hey, I'll give you all this great stuff. And you will, and we'll take care of you. And next thing you know, you're in a train going down to some camp somewhere with the chemical showers, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to pay attention, because, you know, the enemy will win you over by blessing or cursing. He'll win you over by giving you stuff or taking stuff from you, whatever gets the desired behavior from you. Mm-hmm. And people have to get the buy-in. People have to get the buy-in from it. And so, which is pretty cool, because then it's like, hey, let's just don't buy into the adversary's things, and let's just stick with the kingdom of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But you know, Pat, we have a distinguished member. I mean, I knew that you knew this, and Chris, we have a distinguished member of the armed forces, you know, right. A veteran among us.
Yes.
You know, and we're proud. Listen.
Of these United States.
These United States of America, where these colors don't run. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
These colors here don't run.
That's right.
And we're celebrating this week. I mean, listen, I know it's Independence Day, July the 4th, but you know, this week, we're celebrating the whole week. You know, this is our country. Mm-hmm. We're excited about it. And, you know, on the radio today, we have a veteran, one who served our country as a brave warrior, a Marine. I mean, this is the tip of the spear.
Yes.
The tip of the spear. When you want the job done, you call the Marines.
That's right.
Listen, it's the few and the brave. And all they need is just a few what? All they need is a few good...
You good men.
You good men. That's it. That's all you need when you're in the Marines.
That's right.
And on the radio today, Chris, with us, you may not know this, but Steve Kolaszewski served in Iraq. How many tours was it?
Two. Oh, my goodness.
That means he went a second time.
Right.
And he braved. I mean, he weathered the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, people complain about heat here. When you're in the desert, you got camo, you've got, you know, loaded down. I mean, we're bragging about him here. He's humble. He's sitting over there just listening to Steve. But we're going to talk about you today.
Okay.
And we want to thank you for your service.
Yes.
I mean, this guy would go with 7 bottles of water. 7 bottles of water and come back just
bone dry.
Carrying just, the ammo, the stuff, the helmet. I went to the Army-Navy store this weekend. Took my boys. I took Pat's son out there. And we'd spent an hour. I mean, an hour just looking around. Eddie was with us. We tried on these hats, and we put on some of that body armor stuff you were talking about. Man, that thing is heavy.
Yeah.
I can't believe you care. How many miles would you go on tour? Would you walk with that stuff?
Wouldn't really go on miles. You just go for hours until pretty much your water's out.
And how many hours would you walk with that on any given day? I mean, I don't expect you to give me details.
I mean, just one patrol anywhere from like 6 to 10 hours.
6 to 10 hours, Pat. One patrol, Chris, with all this heavy stuff and just, I mean.
6 hours, yeah.
6 hours.
Wow. Straight.
Yeah. Just going house to house. You know, heaven forbid you don't get contact on it, because if you're out of water, you better just push through it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's pretty intense.
That is.
And we appreciate everything that the military does. I tell you, man, I don't know. You know, I've seen the movies, you know, I get inspired. And then when I look at that training, I go, I don't know if I could take this hill. I can't take the hill in my lawn, front lawn. I don't know if I could take this hill right here. I'm working to get up my driveway. Have you seen my driveway?
That's a serious driveway. You seen the driveway? Oh my
That's
God.
No joke. Ooh, That's no serious. Joke.
So maybe I could start training on the driveway.
There you go.
Maybe I could be part of the few, the proud and the brave. But I know that, Steve, you were, you know, saw some combat and some intense training nonetheless. I mean, the training has to be the most fiercest. I mean, we're talking about the Marines.
Yeah.
We're talking about the tip of the spear. Semper Fi. I mean, you know, hoorah! This is, you know, we're talking about the men.
Right.
And I know that you know, you're one tough guy. And I can appreciate that. I really, really can appreciate that. But fellas, I don't know if you noticed what happened this morning in the studio. I don't know if you were aware. But somehow.
I had a feeling there was something.
Somehow, you know. When you're in the South and you got bugs and stuff, you get rodents that come in, you know.
It just happens.
It just as part of
you
just.
You can't avoid it.
You can't avoid it.
Look how clean you
happens.
Are.
It just happens. Nah, yeah. You get those things. They come in. They're a nuisance. You get them out.
You just squash them.
You squash them. Yeah.
Dispose them.
Get rid of them. You know, they're a nuisance.
Yeah.
Our friend. The one that we just were sharing about. I don't want to call him out by name right now, but you know what? He notices a small, tiny
creature.
I can't even say rodent. Let's just say insect.
It was a roach.
Insect.
It was a roach.
A little roach.
A little tiny thing.
A little tiny thing. And I just hear this pitch, this high pitch. I go, wait, what happened here? What?
A high pitch?
Yeah, it was just a squeal.
It was pretty high.
Ear-piercing squeal.
So the Mets, they got this new pitcher, like a high pitch. Like, is that where we're going?
We're bringing this back here. And he says, look, there is a bug in here.
There was a roach. There's a difference between a bug and a roach.
And I said, well, get rid of it. He said, I'm not touching that. I said, Steve, What do you mean you're not touching that? I am expecting you to eat it because you're a Marine.
You are a Marine.
A Marine. I'm expecting you to eat it. You know, like impress me, like, you know, this is fiber. This is what we ate out there in the combat zone. But fellas,
I did squash it though. I did squash it.
Did you get it on you?
I did. I did kill it.
Did you need some encouragement for that? Did you?
You know, there is a wisdom in much counsel. I was open to some encouragement and some direction. I humbled myself before the roach.
Man.
Did you need therapy afterward?
Did not need therapy.
Okay. I'm divulging secrets right now.
I did not need therapy.
I'm divulging secrets right now. I'm just full disclosure right now. I'm just going for it. But, you know, all the enemies need, man, is a bag of roaches. They forget bullets. All they got to do is throw roaches at him and he's running around. I mean, what?
I did kill the roach, though. I just want to make you know. But there was a significant portion of that John did leave out. What?
Please,
the roach was in my coffee.
It was in the little ground thing. We didn't expect you to drink it. I mean, I thought you would have ate it because, like I said, we talked about it. You're a Marine.
Well, for future instances, when I see a roach, I'll make sure that I eat it in front of you.
No, you don't have to eat it. That's gross. Yeah, that's gross. But I just thought, you know. You guys were survival mode, you know. Listen, I've watched the programs. I've watched reality TV, and I've seen the wilderness. I've seen the training. You know, I've seen the stuff.
That's
that
reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably a hamburger they cooked up. Oh, yeah, man, yeah. But I just thought you would dispose of that and not,
yeah,
not, you know. But I'm glad you did. I'm glad.
Thank you for showing us how it's done.
Sure.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you for taking the enemy combatant out. I mean,
I'm glad I could be there for you.
Oh, you gotta love them. You gotta love them. You gotta love them.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It makes me think about how Esther, you know, was at the right place at the right time. Uncle King said, listen, there's a huge plot coming against the Jews here. And the king had already issued an edict. He issued a law that said, okay, we are going to kill the Jews. We're going to deal with the Jews. We're going to exterminate all of God's folks here. Mm-hmm. Because of lies, but you know, somebody says, well, that's a lie, but they're still gonna kill you. Does it matter whether it's a lie or not?
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, that's not true, but they're still gonna kill you. They're still gonna, you know, so it doesn't matter. I mean, the outcome matters. Mm-hmm. And so here, this king is already issued an order because of the lying things that have come to him about, you know, you got to do with the Jews because the Jews are gonna whatever. And so he's issued a law and said, we're gonna deal with them, we're gonna kill them all. And so then, of all the particular things, or take away all their stuff from them and all those different things, what did they do? Did they go to the king and just say, you know, we need to give him what he wants for his political party? Did we go and wine and dine the king and do, you know, make, give? No. What they did was they did not seek the kingdoms of this world. They did not even seek the king. The very king, the very one who issued the order to bring destruction to God's folks. And so many people right now, instead of praying for our president and praying for our Congress and praying for our governors and praying for our leaders, I mean, come on. I mean, you could go there and lead and you're not. Mm-hmm. Pray for them and then seek God, because this is what happened. Because they sought the Lord, and this is what they did. They went and sought the Lord. They went and sought the Lord and humbled themselves and prayed. And they just sought the Lord. And so God said very specifically, it makes me think about one particular scripture in Proverbs, when he says, well, first of all, it makes me think of Romans, mm-hmm. you know, Romans chapter 13, verses 1-5. When Paul's writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he says, listen, all authority is established by God. I mean, all authority. Mm-hmm. This very king that issued this edict against God's folks, God was in control of this dude. He said, all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He's there to punish the wrongdoer. He's God's servant. And it's like, this guy's evil. He issued this order. Yeah, but somebody lied to him. Somebody had this whole plan. You know, Satan did his thing and convinced folks and took them captive to do his will. And next thing you know, people are plotting for position and trying to take down, and they didn't like the fact that people didn't bow down to him. Whatever. Mm-hmm. The fact is, they were lying to this king. And so God, understand, you cannot change someone by as a Christian. That's not your goal. You don't want to force a situation. You want God to be able to direct their hearts, because what he says in Proverbs 21:1, he says, the king's heart is like a water course, and he directs it wherever he wants to and to whoever he wants to. So that king, he was just, imagine this river is flowing through his heart, and all of a sudden this dude comes up and starts lying to him about God's folks. And so all of a sudden that guy changed the direction of the flow in this king's heart against God's folks. They didn't go back and say, listen, this guy's lying and this is what's going on. They first went to God and they sought the king and his kingdom. And they prayed and they fasted and they just said, you know, God, we're going to appear before the king, but we know that you are God. You hold all things in your hand. And so now they're going to, after they spent time with God and they put things in the proper perspective, God's in control. God's in control here. And he's the one that's going to direct that king's heart one way or the other. So when they appear before that king who was against them, the flow was against them, the current was against them, that all of a sudden, God, to their amazement, because even approaching this king, if Esther could have died even approaching this king, but God touched this king's heart. And as soon as she shared what was happening, after she sought the kingdom of God, she spoke to the kingdoms of this world, and God changed the water course of that heart, that river in that man's heart. And it just, the opposite happened. And the very ones that were plotting to destroy Israel, who lied to the king, who changed the direction of his heart, God changed it back. And the very gallows that were put up to be able to hang, you know, one of the Jews, he got hung by it. And it's like, how many people right now are trying to go to the kings and go into your Congress people and your governors, and you haven't even gone to God? Mm-hmm. I mean, according to George Barna, 19% was that 19%? 19% of...
Sounds right.
Yeah, like 91% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bibles. Don't even pick it up. I mean, that's not seeking the kingdom of God.
No.
And then out of the 19% that pick them up, only 3% even read their Bible and listen and apply it to their life. So only 3% are operating like Esther operated. But we're wondering why the king's heart and leaders' hearts and government's hearts going in this whole different direction. Could it be that we're not seeking the kingdom of God, but we're looking at the kingdoms of this world? Mm-hmm. And the more you look at the kingdoms of this world, it's just crazy. And it's supposed to be. I mean, it's not operating under God. That's important. And you think, what's wrong? It's like, they're not seeking God. They're not the very one that's holding all the earth together, the one that's putting everything together, the breath in their lungs, and designed everything, and looking over everything, and not far from everything. And us, they're just ignoring him, or avoiding him, or denying him. So it's not going to go well. It may go well for a season, but it doesn't go well for a long period of time. And so what you find out through that is like, you know, Esther kind of set an example for us when we as Christians, you know, to be able to approach, you know, what's going on. But then when he issued the edict was so powerful, because this is what he did. He says, you have authority now. I'm going to give you authority, Jews. The very ones that, you know, take you out. Now I'm going to give you authority. You can defend yourself. You can annihilate the enemy. You can take their plunder. I mean, think about that. Not only did he turn things around, but he gave them authority. And it makes me think about Matthew 18:18, when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now I give it unto you. Go, you know, and preach the kingdom of God and make disciples of the nations. And then it makes me think about, you know, Mark 16:19, he says, in my name, drive out the authority. He's given us that. And it also makes me think about, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, he talks about 12 and the power of God and the might of God and the armor of God. And the shield of faith, which you can annihilate and destroy all the works of the enemy, and the sword of the spirit. I mean, God has done this. The edict has been issued in the kingdom of God now, not the kingdoms of the world, to deal with our spiritual enemy. And this is what the king did when his heart got changed in Esther 8:11. He says, the king issued an edict, granted the Jews in every city the right to gather, to assemble, to protect themselves, to destroy and kill and annihilate any armed forces of any nationality or province that might attack them, women and children, and try to take away their things and to be able to take their plunder. Our enemy is not a physical enemy. It's a spiritual enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, as he talks about in Ephesians 6:12. And understand, but God's given us that edict. He's given us that authority. But if we're thinking about the kingdoms of this world and not the kingdoms of God, we're kind of depressed and we're sad and we're thinking about what do we need to do and whose sign do we need to put up on our eyes? Like, what are you doing? Right. We need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And kingdom means king's domain, having the authority, the dominion of God in our life. So I want to encourage you today, when you look at what's happening in the nations, in the world, and in government, and leaders, begin to seek the king and his kingdom. And then once you hear from God and get that peace, go forward and preach the kingdom of God. In boldness, appear before that king and say, here I am. And then speak truth after you hear from God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, If you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?